If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, again, just following up on the bonus, we're talking to our NFL player agent, unnamed. So, again, he confirmed that guaranteed money due within that league year or calendar year. Within that season, does not have to be put in escrow.
Correct.
If you owe someone guaranteed money into future years, you have to put it in escrow. Okay, so the guaranteed money that the Patriots owe Antonio Brown, i.e. that $5 million first bonus payment on Monday, does not have to be put in escrow. Answer that question. And then I asked Maz to ask our NFL player agent, in your dealings with the Patriots, if you had to guess, do you think they're going to wait till the actual due date to give them the money, or do they sometimes just give it early on signing or et cetera? And I said,
is there a chance that they already paid him? And he said, probably not.
Given his experience in dealings with him in the NFL.
Yeah, he said it's not, you know, anything's possible, but it's unlikely they would likely wait until the last day to pay him. So the probability is, based on what we know, that Brown does not have his money yet. Okay, that is the probability. And so, and I don't think we're really, you know, I don't think we're talking out of school there or stepping into any area that's that outrageous. If contractually they have until the 23rd, and this is a guy, put it this way, the thing happened so fast, Mike, right? That they basically agreed with him on Saturday. The story broke a day later, not even if I remember right. So like, given how all that went down, unless they paid him right away, why would they then pay him a day into it? Like, once this thing happened, they absolutely said we're going to wait till the 23rd.
Be nuts. You wait till the last minute with this guy.
And I say this, you know, as a compliment to them, as shrewd as they are, there's no way they would do that.
And so I just think, again, I keep saying this is when it gets real, you know, when the money's due. So is that a line of demarcation of sorts for the Patriots? And if Pittsburgh looked into a criminal account or a criminal case but couldn't because of statute of limitations, does that apply to Miami? Because the Miami, and this was the rape charge, this was even the, you know, this was the worst of the three, happened in May of 2018. So that can't be, you know, their statute of limitations can't be 18 months.
I'll tell you
two
that.
Or 3 years.
If I'm the Patriots, or Antonio Brown, but that part goes without saying. If I'm the Patriots and I hear that they looked into criminal charges, but that they couldn't do it because of the statute of limitations, as you said, that would scare the hell out of me.
They were a couple months away from it actually opening up and the whole thing going poof.
Right, because then immediately you would look at it and go, well, wait a minute. So if we weren't within there, would you have done it? Like, what do we got here?
So the Miami Herald did do some reporting when the civil case came out last week. And the Miami Herald says, and all it basically says is that the Miami Police Department did not receive a report of the incident. So she did not go to the cops in Miami. The Special Victims Bureau does not have any records of a sexual assault reported by the victim, nor any reports where Antonio Brown is a subject. A spokesman for the Miami-Dade police told the paper. This was on September 11th. That claim was supported by the Miami-Dade State Attorney's Office. As criminal prosecutors, we always encourage all victims of sexual assaults to report these matters to the police for proper investigation. Having reviewed our records, we found no prior police investigative contacts regarding these allegations or these individuals. We will be reaching out to the pertinent police agencies to determine if they had any prior contacts or investigations. If such police investigations exist, we would certainly be interested in those reports and any related to evidence gathered. So I haven't heard of anything since, but all Miami has to do is say, we're launching our own criminal investigation. Now there's a criminal case that does not fall outside of the statute of limitations, and the whole thing gets treated differently, right? criminal versus civil, the whole perception of it gets treated different. Goodell's powers are different, criminal versus civil, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I mean, I would say just in the simplest sense that if it does ever become criminal, then Goodell will absolutely put him on the exempt list. And I mean, there is precedent for that.
And if I've missed reporting on this, someone fill me in, please, because I haven't read everything out of Miami in the last week. If the Miami DA or that office has said case closed, we're not going to pursue it, then they're not going to pursue it. And if I've missed that, I've missed it. But I guess that's all it takes. Pittsburgh was willing to do it. Pittsburgh started to do it. All right, so again, we're talking about that. One more non-Antonio Brown Patriots item, because we hit on it yesterday, and the news came out late yesterday that Isaiah Wynn to the injured reserve list with that turf toe, out at least 8 weeks. And now they have, how many guys are on that list? N'Keal Harry's on that list?
Yeah, two is the max.
So, so two with designated to return.
Correct, yeah. So they've run out of room there now. In other words, if someone else
goes on the IR, they're done for the year.
Right, or they got to move one of those guys, I think.
So you can only return two off the IR list.
Right, so they're jammed there now. Like, they, you know, if there's another serious injury, they're going to be forced to make a decision on when Harry or whoever the third player is.
Okay, be that as it may, you are concerned about the offensive line.
I am. I don't know how you can't be. Again, it's both tackles missed this game against Miami, both. And I happen to think that the for as much of a strength as the offensive line was late last year and into the postseason, and obviously Gronkowski factors into this too, they've taken major hits there. Major. So they lost Trent Brown. They lost Trent Brown's backup. Two guys bailed on him in the spring, if you remember. One guy retired and the other one retired later. Now Marcus Cannon's out. And by the way, let me ask you for this idea that, you know, this power running game that the Patriots have. Do you know where they rank in yards per rush so far?
Go ahead.
25th. 25th out of the 32 teams in the league. They're averaging 3.5 yards per carry. And so I look at that and I say, Sony Michel in this last game was better, but it wasn't great. And at the end of last season, they were great at running the ball. They were great at it.
It was maybe their biggest strength, the offensive line as a whole. I'm just telling you, postseason run.
I'm just telling you right now, it's not there. So it's not there.
They're showing up on the simulcast right now. Burkhead's been your best running back, and the numbers show it. He's averaging 5 yards a carry. Sony Michel on the season is averaging 2.8, which is wretched. Another Ben Volen item from that column. He says, Michel ran better in this Miami game, gaining 85 yards on 21 carries for a 4-yard average. But watching him run, you get the sense that he only gains the yards that his offensive line creates for him. No. Really? Wow. Who would have? No.
See, but in the one preseason game, he looked better than that.
But I'm
but
just,
anyway,
I'm
right.
just taking that chance.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Shake my ass in your face.
I'd like to know why Damian Harris has been a scratch for these first couple of games.
I've been saying that for a year. You know, what does he do outside of the yards that the line gets for him? Does he outrun guys? Does he blow guys up? Does he make guys miss? And I didn't see a ton of that last year.
No. And look, I mean, even Burkhead in the game on Sunday on that flea flicker, he created like all those yards. What are you going to get, like 8 yards on that play?
Anyway, again, Volen says, but watching him run, you get the sense he only gains the yards that his offensive line creates for him and that he rarely picks up extra yards on his own. He also seems to get tackled by his shoestrings a lot. So that's just another sort of note there. I have, you know, Michel in the preseason popped, right? That one game. Damian Harris had a good game. In the next game, Michel came back and like, whoa. And maybe Michel got a little bit of, you know, got competitive there because that rookie they just drafted had a good game. But in these two, he's been just a guy.
No, and so look, again, to me, where this factors is, and we talk about that versatility of the offense. They can run it. They can throw it. They haven't run it yet. Not really. I mean, they haven't. And so, you know, with the offensive line in the shape that it's in, I'm a little worried about that.
Okay, one more non-Antonio Brown item from Mark and Quincy. What is it, Mark?
Hey, I know a lot of the talk lately has been Antonio Brown, but I feel like Steven Gostkowski's kind of slipped under everyone's radar. Are they going to bring in another kicker to challenge him? Like, if it's a big game and a big kick, I have no faith that he's going to get it. None.
There'll be no competition for Steven Gostkowski.
And we would have heard of it if there was. Yeah. They would have brought someone on the off day. It would have hit on the transaction wire. You would have heard a report about another kicker in here, I think. I mean, do you need to report workouts?
Yeah, I mean, Reese or, you know, it's always reported who they bring in for workouts. Yates.
No, no, but that's the team giving those guys little nuggets, little little dribblets, little dry little pieces of poop of information. But there's things that are on the transaction wire. Like when you put someone on or off the practice squad, even something as small as that has to go on the league transaction wire, and everyone's going to know that. individual private workouts, when you bring a guy in, does that have to be reported?
I don't think so.
In other words, Murray, if they don't tell Reese or Yates, okay, they're not going to know it because they're not there, you know, inside the building. They're not at the practice field there. Yeah. Right.
Okay, but what does your gut tell you? Do you think they're doing it?
No.
Me neither.
They've never. It feels like they've never done it.
Yeah, me neither. So, they're not doing it with this guy.
So I don't know if they would have, but I think we would have known, but maybe not. They're so careful with Gostkowski's brain and his head and his psyche, like he's in bubble wrap. They're so protective of him that if they don't have to report a workout, this is one they wouldn't report to him. This is one they would not tell Field. They would not tell Reese because they don't want to climb inside Gostkowski's head. We brought in someone to kick. We're taking a look at guys, but we're not telling anybody because we don't want to mess with this kid's head.
So look, again, you know how I feel about kickers in general. And I always thought Gostkowski was overrated when he was at his best, let alone what's going on now. But let's say you do cut him, or cut him's the wrong. Let's say you bring in someone else. Are you going to trust that guy?
I don't know. Let me see him.
Maybe it pushes Gostkowski if this is a mental issue going on with him. Like, yeah. It can't hurt.
I mean, to me, I'm more fascinated in that. If all of our bitching about Gostkowski, I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever said cut him or release him. All I've said is
bring in competition.
I mean, how's he the one guy that doesn't get competition? He's the one guy.
Because they're all mental cases. Every single one of them, they're all mental cases.
So I'm just fascinated by Bill's approach with him, the psyche there, and how he treats him differently than any other player he's ever had. Any player in his 30s who makes a lot of money, who's on the back nine, at least gets competition. If not, gets his ass shown the door. But he at least gets messed with. We draft somebody. We bring somebody in. We try people out. He's done it with Brady, for crying out loud. He's done it with everyone.
So, again.
But he doesn't do it with a kicker. I'm just fascinated by that. I've never said bench him. But I do find it interesting that he just won't bring in someone to
give him a kick in the ass.
To show him, yeah.
Did he ever do it with Vinatieri?
They drafted Robbie Gould when Vinatieri was here. Yeah, they drafted Gould. They sure did with Vinatieri, absolutely.
Okay, so that's interesting. I don't know, maybe it's just a thing that Bill has with kickers. Like, if I have a kicker and I trust him, I'm not going to mess with him.
Well, he knew that Vinatieri wasn't a mental gidget, as Derek Lowe would say, right? He didn't have to worry about that with Vinatieri.
Yeah, he's the one outlier, because I'm with Maz. The baseline for all of them is gutless weenie.
By the way, there's only one kicker in the league that's missed more extra points than Gostkowski. Vinatieri.
Who's like 50.
He's like 2 for 5. Really. It's unbelievable.
Okay, we continue with all your thoughts. Antonio Brown on the field, off the field. These other Patriots items are with you. And the Dirty at 30 for free Patriots tickets at 4:30. We'll replay that Rex Ryan phrase coming up for you. If you missed it, you got to stay tuned so you have a chance to win those tickets at 4:30. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Matt from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. With Clear Tide, you can say goodbye to heavy lifting, missed deliveries, bottle storage, and worrying about how much bacteria might be living in your bottled cooler, and say hello to purified, endless refreshment, all for one flat monthly rate.
What are you waiting for? Visit BottleFreeBoston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's BottleFreeBoston.com, and make sure to tell Matt and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
What's the approach when your opponent's in an emergency quarterback situation like the Jets are now? Do you have to prepare for the team sort of relying more on the run game and defense to take the ball out of the quarterback's hands as often as possible?
Nobody knows the quarterback situation better than Coach Gase does. He's feels like that. Falk has more experience in the system, which he does, than any other player that they have. He was with them last year. He went through all the game plans, went through all the adjustments, had a whole year of it in Miami. Darnold didn't do that. Simeon didn't do that. So I think that Coach Gase has expressed the confidence that he has in his quarterback, and I believe him. And I don't think he would have brought him there, and he would have put him in there if he didn't have that. So I don't expect the offense to change.
That's Belichick on Luke Falk. How do you possibly talk up that guy? Bill tried. All right, back to your phone. 617-779-0985. You know the number. Charlie in Plymouth. Go ahead, Charlie.
One man. Yeah, first Bill Belichick brings in Antonio Brown. And then the Miami game, 5 minutes and 14 seconds left, 36-0, and the rubber band man's out there throwing the ball down the field. This is nothing about... This is all about Bill Belichick going 19-0 and having a big, huge legacy left behind. That's all it's about, him.
Okay, so Bill's making about him and his epitaph. See, I don't think that that's... I mean, believe me, he wants those things. I took another guy that no one else could figure out, got something out of him, won another championship, 19-0. Of course he wants all those things. What do you think he wants more than anything, though? If he wants anything to add to his legacy, what does he really want?
To win without Brady.
Yeah, win a Super Bowl without Brady.
So thank you. I think that would be, if it's all about him, you know, maybe we haven't even seen the ultimate all about him move yet.
I'll tell you what, you know, the other thing I started to wonder, because I was, you know, where he is on the all-time list for coaching victories, to catch Shula, he'd have to go for a while. He'd have to go like six more years.
Yeah, I was going to say five.
Okay.
But win 10 games of, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, is it in his sight?
I'm sure he'd love that one too.
Oh, don't you think he would?
Oh, hell yeah. Especially with all the chirping Shula's done.
Old Fish Lips himself be able to take him down? Seriously. And not to mention wipe out his 17-0 in the process.
Oh, yeah.
Go 19-0 and beat Shula? Oh, I wonder if that's somewhere on his radar. Like, I wonder. He would love to do that.
Tom and Dedham. Hi, Tom.
Hi, how's it going? So I got a couple of things I want to run by you. One is if Brown was put on the exempt list, would he have an opportunity to appeal it? And another thing is, you guys are talking about should they pay him. Of course they should pay him. You want to know why? Because if they pay him and he's found innocent with all this, then the chances of him wanting to come back and play next year are really good. You know what I mean? He's one of the best wide receivers in the league. You know, when it comes down to it.
So,
you know, yes.
Tom, let me stop on that second thing. You control that second year. That's your option. So whether he wants to or doesn't want to, it's not. He doesn't have to pick you to come back next year. All you have to do is pick up that option. And it's guaranteed. It's $20 million guaranteed. So that's, you know, that second thing you don't need to worry about. It's up to you.
See, I think they want nothing to do with him in the second year. They went into this. I think even Bill went into it and said, this is one and done. A lot like Revis.
So can you appeal the exempt list? I think you can. I think Walk said that you can. But I think the... Yeah, who determines it's the same guy who gave you the suspension? Who are you appealing to?
No, it's a nice process.
I don't think you can go back to Judge Berman there. I think it's Goodell. I think it's Goodell that sees the appeal. So, you know, good luck with that.
Yeah, you're on the exempt list. I'd like to appeal. Okay, thank you. No.
And again, when I say Daniel Wallach, a legal expert, did a lot of stuff during Deflategate. He now writes for The Athletic. He wrote last night that the Miami game might be Antonio Brown's last game for quite some time. And he says, given the low bar that now exists, given the fact that the league has opened the investigation, given the low bar, it seems inevitable that Brown will soon end up on the exempt list, perhaps as early as this week. So again, Wallach was on with Beal and Zoe earlier, kind of backed off that a bit, but that's what he wrote last night. And if that's really in play, with $5 million of the $9 million guaranteed due on Monday, how do the Patriots pay that to him, if there's really a chance of that? Tony and Stoneham, what do you got?
Hey, guys, I don't understand you guys at all, really. What do you care about the money for?
I don't.
I mean, I don't care personally about it, but I think it's a key part of the story.
Why is it even being talked about?
Because I think it's a key part of the story. I think it's a key part of the story, Tony, don't you?
All right, key part of the story. The NFL met on Monday. If they were going to do anything, here it is, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock on Wednesday. Something would have come down by now. As long as this guy... does what he's supposed to do, he's going to play the whole season barring any injury. And the other thing is, you complain about how much he played in the other game. Why do you want him in there in the second half when the game is over?
I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you again what happened. He only played 20-something snaps.
But there's no reason to have him in there. There's no competition with that team.
Oh, but I don't think that's
over.
Tony, then why was Brady and Edelman and everyone else in there?
All right, you just gotta, I'm sorry that you came from Minnesota. You had, what, 3 or 4 championships?
Wisconsin, baby, Wisconsin, that's the worst thing you could say to me. That's such an insult, Minnesota. Huh, what, some gopher? Some rodent? Come on, Tony. Wisconsin, Badger, much better. Wisconsin, not Minnesota. That's insulting. Now, okay. now we're hitting below the belt.
No, and I'm not complaining about the 24 snaps. I'm just telling you that's what the number was.
You'll lump me in with those cretins. Listen, I'm not complaining either. It's just, the story was is that Antonio Brown was not ready to play more than 24 snaps. Tony, you think he didn't play more than 24 snaps because the game was in hand? Belichick played his starters until they were like, they played him on the last drive. He was blitzing Josh Rosen and calling timeouts. Everyone played the whole game. So what are you talking about?
Yeah, and look, again, he misses the point on the money. I don't give a rat's ass if they pay him his $5 million. I'd release him either way. I mean, if they have already given him the $5 million, that wouldn't stop me from releasing him if I were them. Okay, but in this case, given what's going on, it's a factor in the story. The deadline is Monday to pay the $5 million. They probably haven't paid it yet.
We're analyzing and discussing the situation. And money is always a key part of these things. Always.
I mean, look, if you're going to have an honest discussion about anything involving these guys, you got to talk about what they make and whether it's worth it to keep them.
And when it's due. And it's due on Monday. It's due on Monday. And if Wallach is right, the exempt list is coming for Antonio Brown. How do you give him the money? But if he's on your roster, do you have to? And are they bound to? And is that a incentive for them to release him from the roster? Because why pay him $5 million if the exempt list is coming in a week or days or whatever the case may be? I do agree with one thing Tony said that, or I thought that when they met with Brittany Taylor, that if she had really had some incriminating evidence on him, he'd be gone by now. He'd be exempted by now.
See, I'm not even convinced of that. I'll tell you why.
Because they have to meet with him too?
Don't you think they have to?
Yes, I do.
I mean, I like, otherwise, you know, the commissioner is nothing more than a dictator, which a lot of people would argue that he is anyway.
But I'm just saying
that. Like, how do you justify that one?
I'm with you. But I was with Tony and Stoneham. Like, if she had something, but I don't know. The Wallach thing just surprised me. You know, all of a sudden, he's going on the exempt list, he thinks? Like, where's that coming from, man? Did he talk to someone that said, you know, if you wrote that he's going on the exempt list, you would be on firm ground? Because I know how that works. He didn't source anything. He didn't say according to people. He just wrote it as his opinion.
So maybe someone was just saying to him, look, if you look at the rule, he can do whatever he wants right now. They've started the investigation. He can put him on right now if he wants. And maybe he interpreted that a certain way and he was wrong.
Yeah, maybe.
But my guess would be that, you know, again, because he comes at it from a legal standpoint, that someone was telling him, look at the language carefully and understand what his power is. He can do it at any time. He can do it right now. So I just have a hard time justifying it. Like, you know, if you're gonna prevent the guy from doing his job, don't you at least have to talk to him first?
I would think. Mitch is in the car. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. Thank you. Your thoughts on Antonio Brown. Do you think he should have taken that deal with her for the $2 million, or do you think he did it just for whatever? He doesn't believe it. Do you think he's banging his head against it now, his head against the wall now, knowing he didn't take it? And do you think if they pay him, he should take the settlement after that? I'll hang up and hear your thoughts.
Okay, thanks. I've never been accused of rape, thank God. So I don't know what one does in that situation. You know what? I wonder if he has the money. Honestly. I think he's...
Right, considering how many people he stiffed.
I wonder if he has the money on hand. Does he have $2 million on hand? Because he feels to me like someone who'd just leak it all away. He'd stiff everybody because he doesn't have it because he's done whatever with it. I mean, I don't know. I have no faith in the guy that he's... I mean, if he handles that himself that way professionally, if we're now seeing the way he handles himself personally, what leads me to believe he's going to be responsible financially? There's nothing in his... that I've ever seen or read about him that would lead me to believe that he handles himself in a reasonable manner, in a prudent manner, anywhere. So does he even have the $2 million to give her?
That's a great question. I you know, again, that hadn't occurred to me. He might not have it.
I mean, he's certainly got houses, is all money tied up in his houses? Does he have to get cash on hand?
So look, he's made, I don't know, $50 million in salary, I thought I read.
69.
Okay, and then on top of it, you know, that doesn't include endorsements and all the other stuff. I'd like to think that he had it, and if he did, wouldn't it be worth it to just make this go away? Like, you know, instead of having it become public? Like, again, now, I don't know, if he didn't do anything, maybe he doesn't care. So you could certainly look at it as evidence that, or some indication, evidence is the wrong word, some indication that he's innocent or not guilty. But I don't know, man. It feels like more than a headache of more than it's worth.
So just one of the many things to consider with Antonio Brown. We continue this conversation. Coming up next after the update, Do we have to spend at least just a couple? I mean, it was such a special night last night at Fenway. Don't we have to at least touch on it?
Sure.
Oh, it really was a special night.
I mean, seriously, you can't let a night like that go without really paying your respects to it. Right? I mean, am I right or am I right?
No, I'm in.
Okay. So we'll get to the special night at Fenway Park right after Murray's update.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver. All the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew. 30 seconds. That's it. Done. Peace.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fly to center field deep. Going back, Jackie Bradley looking up, and it is gone. Yastrzemski takes it out of Fenway. His 20th home run of the season.
Boy, did he put a swing on this ball or what?
What a magical moment that is.
To dream the impossible dream. To fight.
You people, seriously.
The unbeatable foe.
You old-timey Red Sox fans. You guys are cute. This thing last night. Not that I could possibly watch it or give it a second of my time. You know how long that game lasted last night?
Almost 6 hours.
It was ridiculous.
5:54.
Do you know how many pitchers were in it?
24.
The Giants used 13 pitchers. The Red Sox used 11.
Okay. But, because the grandkid of Carl Yastrzemski played, we had basically a massive old-time baseball circle session. With the likes of, included in this circle, Rochy, Gammons, Abe, I know Shaughnessy, Doris Kearns, Buck, all of them. Members out, absolutely pants off, all because Yaz's grandkid played. You have to, I mean, I know the answer, but I just asked this sort of rhetorically. You have to explain this to me.
I look, you're preaching to the choir on this one. I thought the moment was cool. I mean, like, fine, I liked it too. I thought it was a good story. You know, fun story. But the reaction to it, like, it was way over the top.
I mean, I've been scrolling through Rochy's Twitter feed. I mean, it's just, this is pornography.
Yeah, it's
this
one big
pornographic.
It's one big nostalgia pants tent for he and everybody else. Like, hey, I get it. It's been a horrific season for this team coming off the World Series last year. So I guess it's something late in a year that's been a year of nothing that you can get excited about. But this was a bit much.
So it's not just how, I mean, so the grandkid played. Well, what's, like, there's grandkids and kids all over the place. You're watching all these sports now, and there's Vlad Guerrero's kid, and Biggio's kid just hit a cycle the other day. Like, they're the kids of the kids. The Mannings are playing quarterback. Like, there's nothing unusual or special about that. The kids play, the grandkids play. There's a Karras on the Patriots. I didn't even compile a list. There's a DeBrusque on the Bruins. There's just a million examples of kids who are playing these sports whose parents and grandparents played and uncles played. Littered. Every team. They're all over the place.
Ken Griffey actually played with his father.
I mean, so it's like...
on the same team.
What? Gordie Howe skated on the same line as his kids. So, like, what's the deal there? Okay, so that's one. That's number one, you people. Number two is, again, a long-standing thing of mine, but the Carl Yastrzemski / impossible dream nonsense. This is so particular to you, it's not even funny. And I'm telling you, I've lived here now. This is my 32nd year in Boston, so I've been here a long time. So I get it. When I say I don't get it, that's really just sort of rhetorical. So I totally get it. There's something wrong with you people. So I understand that. But when I first moved here, I'm telling you, the impossible dream thing was like, I didn't get it. Because it'd be like this carrying on about the impossible dream. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought they haven't won since 1918. Why are they carrying on about 67? That occurred to me. You didn't win in 67. And I said, wait, what are you carrying on? You lost. You lost. You had a good year and you lost. What is this with 67? But your pants tent, your infatuation with 1967. And by extension, Yaz. This pretty good but not great ball player. Because I am old enough to remember when Yaz played. And I always thought he kind of sucked. I mean, I did. In my years, when I became a baseball fan in the late 70s into the early 80s, when I became old enough, and, you know, the Red Sox and Brewers had a lot of back and forth. You're in the same division, and, you know, I knew you. I knew your team. I always thought Yaz sucked. I never worried about Yaz.
Well, by the time you watched him, he was old.
I never worried about this guy. I'm like, what are you people carrying on about? He's a 285 hitter. Robin Yount was a 285 hitter. Do I drop my pants every single time someone mentions Robin Yount?
Yeah, you do.
I do. All right. But we didn't write any songs. We didn't write any songs about it. I would not be sitting here with my pants off if his kid played at County Stadium or whatever.
You might.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would not.
Baby Yount?
I would not carry on like this.
Okay.
You would.
This freaking 285 hitter. Here are Yaz's last eight seasons. What he hit his last eight seasons. 267, 296, 277, 270, 275, 246, 275, 266. And you people can't. You mentioned Yaz.
He was 43 at the end.
I give you his last 8 years, not his last two.
You mentioned a 296 and there were 275. Back then, 275 was decent.
Maz, you've called him the most overrated Boston athlete in the history of Boston.
I've said overrated Red Sox.
Okay. So I know this is why I you're the one who clued me into this. Just because
Yaz was a very good player. I don't know if he had a couple of great seasons.
Paul Molitor's career average was .306. Okay. We don't in Milwaukee carry on about 82, the year we lost. And these two guys, they're, you know, we appreciate them, but there's not this reams, this nostalgia factory, this nonsense about 67 and Yaz. Yeah, when he was playing and I was watching, I thought this guy kind of sucked. I'm like, bring up Yaz. No problem. This guy. But you people carrying on. And it's really the baseball crowd. It is. It's the baseball crowd. And what it is it's your childhood. Like Buck, Shaughnessy, guys, I don't care about your childhood. I don't care about you listening to Red Sox games and Ken Coleman in the 60s and Newton and blah, blah, blah. And your thing in Cambridge. They lost. So don't drag me into your childhood. And oh, by the way, they never won. They were losers. And they celebrate these teams, Yaz and those teams, more than the teams that have actually won. And that to me, I mean, I get it, but I'm going to rhetorically say I don't get it. That makes no sense. You want to prattle on to me about Larry Bird? I get it. He won. You want to prattle on to me about Bill Russell? Fine. Prattle on. And have your things, for even though you don't. But if you want to carry on, even though that Bruins team, I'm sorry, underachieved. That Bruins team underachieved. They should have won 4 or 5, given the roster they had. But even still, he won a couple. I'll give you or. But this carrying on.
Some of the tweets were so gooey, too.
My God.
Here's a couple from Buck. On an otherwise long, tedious night at Fenway.
Oh, God.
Mike Yastrzemski delivered the moment everyone wanted to see.
Oh, God.
Another one from Buck. In 1983, as a 27-year-old sports writer, I covered Carl Yastrzemski's final
at-bat. Yeah, I was there.
Tuesday night, 36 years later, I'll cover grandson Mike Yastrzemski's first Fenway at-bat. Peter Gammons. Walking across the outfield to the wall yesterday with Carl and Mike Yastrzemski was a stroll through baseball history. 58 years after Carl made his debut and that, in his first game, threw out A's outfielder Leo Posada, Jorge's uncle at the plate.
Here we go again.
Pete Abraham. The Yastrzemski running out to play left field at Fenway Park evoked a lot of warm memories last night.
And warm pants.
Dan Roach.
Mike Yastrzemski announced by PA voice Henry Mohegan at Fenway Park as he leads off the game for the Giants Tuesday night. First time a Yaswit was introduced at a Major League game at Fenway Park since 1983.
Oh, God, please.
Grandpa Carl played for Boston. Pretty cool.
Okay, kids, listen. There's going to come a day.
It's nauseating.
When we prattle on, if Benjamin Brady or his other kid, I forget his name, Thomas, if Tommy Brady, is it Thomas Edward? Is that his kid? Whatever. If one of his two sons plays football.
Benny.
Benny comes back and he, you know, play. We're going to mention it and we might even prattle on a little bit. Brady won 6. Okay. If, you know, whatever. If Gronkowski's kid comes back and plays, we're going to mention it, and we might even, the old-timers might even prattle on a little bit.
You have no heart.
And carry on a little bit about Rob Gronkowski. We might do it about Julian Edelman if his kid plays. Maybe at some point, you youngsters out there, you millennials, you'll see Edelman's kid come and play, and an old-timer like me or Maz or Murray will prattle on and fill the air with nostalgic farts about Julian Edelman. A guy who won. We're not going to prattle on about a 285 hitter who never won anything and just played forever. And that's the part that, again, rhetorically, I don't get and is particular to you. No one that I know of in this country carries on about an average group of losers, which is what this Red Sox franchise was for freaking decades, almost a stinking millennium of average losers. But the romanticizing and the romanticism and the carrying on for the 285 guy that never won a thing is particularly you and is really hard to wrap my head around.
Of course you'll never get it, carpetbagger.
it's just, and now the not only the 285 hitter who never won anything, his grandkid, the grandkid comes and plays a ball game, and oh my God, the walkout to the left field wall, you would have thought freaking Nelson Mandela had just been released from prison and was walking to the left field wall. It was just the grandkid.
So I told you, I thought the moment was cool. You're not going to hear me pontificating and getting all flowery about it and everything else.
Oh, my God.
So the kid's a good story, right? 29, minor leaguer for his life, all of that. Finally get to the big, independent of whether he's a Yastrzemski or not. The kid's a good story. But I think it also tells you, Hardy said this today, and he was right. He may have said it off the air. Oh, the people over at that ballpark this year, they were just waiting for something to care about. They were waiting for something to care about because the team didn't give him one all year long.
Holy crap. At one point, we'll carry on. We'll carry on about David Ortiz and we'll prattle on. You'll see old timer. Why are you talking about David Ortiz?
Because he won.
The carrying on about the guys that didn't win is, man. And it'd be one thing if the Red Sox hadn't ever broken through and that's all you had, then I get it. Okay. As a Brewer fan, we do have to go to 82 because that's all we have. You got 4 rings and you got winners and you still carry on about this nonsense. So that is, but last night took the cake, man. That was something special.
This game, this field.
Holy moly.
It's a part of our past,
okay.
Ray.
I'm sorry. Back to your phones. I just had to get that off my chest. We're giving away Patriots tickets next hour, but for you to win those Patriots tickets, you got to get a little dirty with Rex Ryan. We're going to give you the dirty Rex Ryan phrase. You have to remember to win those tickets at 4:30. We'll do it next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
Miss
something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Oh, I get those old-timers so mad, too. Oh, they hate it. Felger at 98.5thesportshub.com for future email of the days. Paul in New Hampshire. Go, Paul.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, what you got?
I was born in 67, and my father brought me up watching them because them and the Patriots are the only venue he could take us
to. Hold on, Paul. We need some accompaniment with that. Go ahead, Jimmy. Please, go ahead.
Hello?
Yep, your father took you to Fenway. Go ahead.
And took me to see the Patriots because we could afford to go because there was only 800 people in the stands, and we could go, and we had four brothers, and I think Yaz was a good guy.
Yeah, and you went to watch him pop up and strike out.
And let me tell you something. They should have had the confetti coming down, and where are you going to go now after you hit a home run in Fenway? I'd probably go to Disney like everybody else. But, no, I think this is one of the best things that happened to the Red Sox other than Ortiz coming off being a now that he's got his own investigators, everything's going great over there.
Well, when you say this is a highlight of the Red Sox season, you might be right about that.
So that much is true, and I think that's part of the story here. I do. The fact that they've had such a pathetic year that Yaz's grandson comes in and it's the highlight of the year.
And they proved it, too, the way that they were whoring it out on their Twitter account last night, too. It's like Yaz, and it's grandson and grandpa, and like just time and time again. Like, all right, we get it. Neat.
I'm telling you, this is like the Red Sox equivalent of Ray Bourque winning the cup with the Avalanche.
Mike Yastrzemski doesn't play left field normally, does he?
I don't think so, no.
Did last night.
He plays right.
Does he lead off normally?
I don't know the answer to that.
I mean,
the whole thing was a gimmick.
Good God. Alan in Florida, go ahead. You're up next. What do you got?
Well, you know, growing up in Milwaukee, I mean, what did you have to look for? To beer? I mean, I don't understand. You come from a city. What did you do? Drink beer in the stands?
Here's what we don't do in Milwaukee, Alan. Alan, we don't rewrite history to say we actually won. Or we don't treat teams that lost as if they won. That we don't do.
History was made in 1967.
Go ahead, please, Jimmy. History was made in 1967.
It changed the way baseball is played in this game. And you know what, Maz? If you had any guts, you know, you should get a tattoo right on your ass and stick out of a Felga because you go along with them. I mean, you should put it right on your ass.
Alan, I don't go along with them. I'm just not offended by it.
You know, you're not offended. Did that 1967 change the way baseball was seen in Boston?
Sure.
Yes or no?
Yes, okay. Of course.
So you don't think that was important, right?
No,
I mean, you got a guy from Milwaukee who doesn't have a clue, never had a win of Robin Yount. I mean, he couldn't play in a little league game.
Maz, I want you to tattoo. You don't need to tattoo my face to your ass, but how about the Brewer logo? How about that great 80s Brewers logo with the M and the B and the glove? Put that on your ass.
No way. I've already got one cheek taken up with Murray's face. That's it, man. You're not getting the other cheek.
I hate to do this, but how many MVPs does Yaz have?
One.
How many does Robin Yount have?
Two. At different positions.
Two different positions. He was a better ball player. Robin Yount was a better ball player than Yaz. So was Paul Molitor. They were both better. But if their kids come back and play in Milwaukee, I guarantee you the city will not stop, even though we've won nothing.
Well, I don't know about that.
It'll be mentioned, but it won't be this
breathless.
This ridiculous nostalgia complex industry.
Mike, with all due respect, you're from a city that built a statue of the Fonz.
That's disrespectful.
Okay.
So
all of a sudden, Robin Yount's going to come back and they're not going to take their pants off?
This is my point, though. We are a small town podunk Loserville. You are a real city with real champions and real teams.
Not always.
And so why do you carry on like this?
And your most famous people are fictional characters.
Correct. We are the kind of podunk town.
Including yourself.
We have a couple we have a couple of bronze trophies outside of Miller Park. One is Yount. One is the Fonz. Or I mean, he might be in front of City Hall. That's even more embarrassing. The Fonz is in front of City Hall. But that's left for Milwaukee. So that makes perfect sense. We're a two-bit town.
Is there an actual Schatz brewery? Does it exist?
I think it was Blatz they would do it. Blatz or Schlitz is one of those two.
Oh, Schlitz. Had to be Schlitz.
Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about carrying on about Yaz's grandkid and the pants-off celebration for the grandkid getting it bad at Fenway.
No, see, Alan wants me to be offended for him. That's what he wants. He wants me. See, this is where it gets. I get projected onto, is that people want to come through and strangle you because they are offended by what you say. I am not offended, but somehow I become the bad guy because I'm not offended.
It was a beautiful night at Fenway Park.
Yeah, Maz, you suck.
Grandson and grandfather walked out to left field.
Felger rips Yaz. Maz, you suck.
Sharing an unfiltered camel. And to help promote the return of Yaz, both grandpa and grandson, everyone in attendance also got unfiltered camels, including the children. And they all had a smoke.
Oh, this overrated 285 hitter who played way too long.
Yeah, he was a good player.
Played way too long.
I don't know if he was a great player, but he was a good player.
Overrated?
A little bit.
Okay. Oh, my God. I could do that for 4 hours. I could talk to you for four. I could talk to you people. I could talk to Boston for 4 hours.
Spell Yastrzemski.
O-V-E-R-R-A-T-E-D. All right. To make it up to you, would you folks like to win free Patriots tickets? Oh. If you want to win free Patriots tickets, what are we calling this, Murray?
The Dirty at the 30.
Okay, we're giving away at 4:30, but you can't just call in. You've got to repeat a phrase that pays.
This is my kind of segment, by the way, the Dirty 30.
You got to repeat the dirty comment by former Jets coach Rex Ryan.
This ain't even the dirtiest. But so we're going to take the call, but I'm going to put you on the air, and you then have to repeat the Rex Ryan phrase to win the tickets. It's not trivia, because rules prevent trivia.
Correct.
This is a phrase to pay.
Correct.
The phrase that pays.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
Is it okay to touch? You don't have to give me the second part.
No, that should be the whole thing. It's 3 seconds long.
The whole thing?
Yeah.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
It's going
to
be a bleep show anyway, so why not run up the score?
Right.
You got to put the X in Rex.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
I got a little bit of a foot fetish. Of course, I got a little bit of a fetish about everything.
Is it okay if I touch him again? It's really beautiful feet.
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
Really beautiful.
If you get out one pronoun or one little word, we'll be okay.
But yeah, you don't have to be exact. But
it's okay if
close.
I touch him again. You got really beautiful feet.
Really beautiful feet.
That's
Is it okay to touch him again? Really beautiful feet.
That's what wins you the tickets. 90 seconds, no commercials. Paul Perillo standing by for a little Patriots.com action. Sunshine.com standing by.
If Heineken Silver was a 60-second radio ad, it'd tell you all the stuff you need to know in only 30 seconds to keep things light and refreshing. Seriously, time me. Heineken Silver, a world-class light beer that's surprisingly crisp and refreshing, made with only premium quality ingredients and just 2.9 grams of carbs and 95 calories, all without compromising on taste. Heineken Silver, all the taste, no bitter endings. Order now at Heineken.com/silver. Must be 21 and older to purchase. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Whew, 30 seconds, that's it. Done. Peace.
Is your workplace still using 5-gallon plastic jugs for your water service? Hey, it's Joe Murray. Listen up, because I'm here with Shane from Clear Tide.
Thanks, Joe. Our bottle-free water purification service gives you and your employees refreshing, purified, unlimited water on demand. Even better, we pair that with our performance guarantee and inclusive service and maintenance plan, making managing your own hydration service a thing of the past.
What are you waiting for? Visit bottlefreeboston.com to start drinking more and spending less at your office. That's bottlefreeboston.com, and make sure you tell Shane and the Clear Tide team that Joe Murray sent you.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.